I'm Steve Scheer. President Barack Obama said he supports Senate Democrats' vote to change the chamber's rules for presidential nominees. He said when it comes to gridlock on Capitol Hill, enough is enough. The Senate voted today to eliminate the 60-vote threshold for most presidential nominees. The change will apply to executive officers and judicial nominees, except for those picked by the president for the Supreme Court. Democrats have complained Senate Republicans have been using filibusters to stall and block presidential nominations. Change will mean it will only take a simple majority instead of three-fifths to end a filibuster and force a vote. Right now, Democrats have that simple majority. Here to tell us what that means is Julian Zelizer, historian, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Professor Zelizer, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Why do they call it a nuclear option, by the way?
Well, the nuclear option is using a majority vote to change the rules of the Senate. So it's not simply the reform of the filibuster that is causing all this attention in Washington. Traditionally, the Senate required by custom that, two-thirds of the Senate would be required to change the rule, and now they're doing it by majority.
And that is a precedent that some people say could come back to bite the Democrats someday.
Absolutely, because this reform can be expanded rather easily or other rules changes. And obviously, if Democrats are in the minority, they can be subject to majoritarian rule. And some Democrats are worried about this and that the Senate becomes so much like the House that when they no longer have power, the majority will really rule over them aggressively.
Why do we have the filibuster?
It's custom. It's not part of the Constitution. It was a tradition that starts to take hold in the 19th century, and in the 20th century, it becomes more institutionalized. We don't even have a rule for ending a filibuster until 1917. That's when we enact what's called cloture, the number needed to end a rule, and we've reformed that process. We did this in 1975 when they lowered the number of senators required to end the filibuster from what was 67 votes to 60. So it's a tradition, but it's a tradition that's now really become inscribed in how we think of the Senate.
Now, the Republicans, when they were in power for a bit, they also accused the Democrats of misusing their authority. Was it the same?
Well, it was and it wasn't, meaning Democrats certainly have used the filibuster, and they've used it aggressively since the 1960s when Republicans controlled the White House. I do think it's clear that we've seen an acceleration of the use of this tool in recent years, and we've seen it used more aggressively on court nominations. And I think that's really still the center of the concern, where so many judicial picks are just not going to be filled, or they were consciously being stifled on key courts. So that's what drove the reform. And I do think there's a case to be made that Republicans have done what Democrats also did, but much more aggressively. They reached a tipping point where reform was finally tolerable.
Because the nominees that were put forth in other positions were also being stifled, not just judges. How bad had it gotten?
It's gotten very bad. I do think there is a sense in Washington, and secretly a lot of Republicans agree, that this is truly dysfunctional. It's not simply rhetoric, but that when you have a requirement of 60 votes on all matters, not simply high-priority pieces of legislation, that in a polarized era of politics, the institution won't work. And so the fact that Reid did this, the fact that Democrats went along with it, the fact that the resistance from people like John McCain was not so strong as it has been in the past, I think is a signal of just how frustrated and fearful many senators are with the status quo. And certainly many Democrats feel this is a risk worth taking, even if they lose this tool, because governance and expanding government and strengthening government has become impossible.
And what do you think?
Well, I think there is a strong case to be made that the filibuster has been abused, and that in an era where there's so many obstacles to government, we can't have a Senate where 60 votes is a requirement on everything. So certainly limiting the use of the filibuster is a good thing. Whether we want to abandon it altogether on all issues, legislation, Supreme Court nominations. That's a different kind of debate, and it's one we might have sooner than we thought.
Why do you say that?
Well, this creates the precedent, first, of reforming the filibuster in significant fashion. And once you do something once, politicians are willing to do it again. They get over that fear factor. And now that you have this precedent of using a sheer majority to enact a rules change, it's easy to see Democrats, for example, going for more. And President Obama in his speech today signaled that the filibuster has been abused not just on nominations, but also on legislation. So the rhetoric is there. I think there is serious interest, certainly among Democrats, in pushing this further. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see another round of reform.
It'll become more important for them to hold their caucuses together, won't it?
Absolutely. Again, you know, we've seen, this is the risk. We've seen in the House of Representatives how a majority-based institution works, and it's then very important to hold your caucus together, keep it disciplined, and there's also a danger that the majority can really run roughshod over the minority, and I think all that might become a greater part of Senate dynamics in coming years.
Professor Zelizer, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Julian Zelizer is a historian and professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. The Senate today, by simple majority, voted to remove some restrictions on the filibuster.